Get your passports. This Monday, we're hopping from Southern Asia to Europe, back to Southeast Asia, starting our commercial-free coverage in Afghanistan. The war-torn nation has a new leader, actually two of them. The election was in June, but neither Ashraf Ghani Ahmadzai nor Abdullah Abdullah came out the clear winner. So after months of disputing who should lead, the two announced on Sunday they'd form a unity government in which they'd share power. Ghani will be Afghanistan's president. Abdullah will be its chief executive officer. This comes at a crucial time for Afghanistan. The Taliban, who used to rule the country, have been fighting to regain control of it. And U.S. and NATO troops who've been helping fight back against the Taliban are moving out, leaving more security to the Afghan people and their new government. Meanwhile, in Europe, major political question for Scottish voters last week. Should Scotland be independent from the United Kingdom?
This is a once-and-for-all decision. If Scotland votes yes, the UK will split, and we will go our separate ways forever.
We've waited a long time for this. So it's really quite exciting. And I'm going to bed early tonight because I'll get the result at 8 o'clock in the morning.
The majority of valid votes cast yesterday by the people of Scotland in response to the referendum question, should Scotland be an independent country, were in favour of no.
Today is a momentous result for Scotland and also for the United Kingdom as a whole.
The people of Scotland have spoken, and it is a clear result.
Scotland has, by majority, decided not, at this stage, to become an independent country. I accept that verdict of the people, and I call on all of Scotland to follow suit in accepting the democratic verdict of the people of Scotland.
At about 15,000 feet above sea level in the Himalayan mountains, there's a border in dispute between the world's two most populated countries. It's called the Line of Actual Control, and it's where Chinese troops and Indian troops have faced off since the two nations fought a war in 1962. The Line of Actual Control is a hang-up between India and China today. Even during a meeting between the two countries' leaders over the weekend, India built up its troop numbers at the disputed border as a show of force. One thing India wants is for China to help define where exactly the border should be. Made things kind of awkward because the meeting in New Delhi was focused on cooperation and trade.
Contest of the century. Chinese dragon versus the Indian tiger. For years, comparing the two Asian giants seemed inevitable. But China's economy has far outstripped that of India's. And despite the obvious rivalry, the world's two most populous nations are working to find a common cause. China and India fought a brief war in the early 60s, and their 3,500-kilometer-long Himalayan border remains disputed and heavily guarded on both sides.
Analysts say China's growing influence in neighboring countries like Pakistan and Sri Lanka irks India, while India's relationships with Beijing's rivals, Japan and Vietnam, bothers China.
But one area both seem to agree on, boosting bilateral trade, which currently stands at $65 billion. At a summit this year for leaders of emerging economies, Chinese President Xi Jinping said, quote, "If China and India speak in one voice, the whole world will listen. If the two countries join hand in hand, the world will watch closely." Beijing is expected to pledge billions of dollars, investing in industrial parks and helping India modernize its railways. Officials on all sides say international relations need not be a zero-sum game. Narendra Modi appears to be taking that to heart, embracing friends and foes.